was a castle called Doubting Castle, the owner whereof was Giant Despair. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. Well, it was John Bunyan who once said, "There was a castle called Doubting Castle, the owner whereof was Giant Despair." You know, a story of one of the most famous doubters ever known is recorded in the Bible, and his name was Thomas. Today, we welcome back Kuun Su to tell us more about Thomas and how we can move from our doubts to certainty about our Lord. But first, here's Ken to tell us more about our guest speaker.
Thank you very much, McDaniel. And it's a real joy and pleasure for me to introduce to you Kuun Su as our guest speaker for today. I've known Kuun Su for many years as a brother in Christ and as a faithful and lucid expositor of the Word of God. He worships with his family at Bethesda Hall, Ang Mo Kio, where he is also involved in regular gospel preaching and Bible teaching. Kuun Su teaches a weekly Bible training class on the basic truths of the Christian faith, and it's wonderful to have him join us on Times of Refreshing.
Thank you, Kenneth, for that introduction. Hello again. Welcome to these moments of meditation on God's Word. I wish to share with you an important topic, from doubt to certainty. I propose to look at this topic by studying the biography of one of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. Let me introduce you to him. He is Thomas. Like Judas Iscariot, he has come down to us with a sad reputation, Doubting Thomas. Fortunately, he was more than that. Unlike Judas Iscariot, his biography shows him to be quite a delightful apostle, with many lessons for our discipleship. More importantly, we want to see how his doubt was changed to certainty. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, say nothing about him except his name. It is John who really opens up Thomas to us. John gives 5 references about him. These passages will show how we are like Thomas sometimes. His full name is Thomas Didymus. Didymus was the Hebrew name. Both the names Thomas and Didymus mean twin or twain. His name was Judas too. He was given the name twin to distinguish him from the other two Judases. He was from Galilee and was probably a fisherman, like Simon Peter, Andrew, and the Zebedee brothers, James and John. We see this in John 21, verses 1 to 3, which we shall read later. We first see Thomas as a man of courage in John 11, verses 1 to 16. The Lord was at the River Jordan when he received news of sickness in the Bethany home. He tarried 2 days and then made known his intention to go to Bethany. In verse 8, the disciples responded with these words, "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" And in verse 16, we have this response from Thomas. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Thomas the pessimist. Yet he was courageous, willing to die with Christ, an act of loyalty and love. This was the lot of the apostles and early Christians. Paul would be another example, as seen in Romans 14 verse 8, which reads, "If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. The lesson for us is this. Do we have the courage to witness to others about Jesus Christ? Of course, we need to do that in love and with consideration for the sensitivities of others. We next see Thomas as a man of confusion in John 14, verses 1 to 4. The context is in the midst of the upper room ministry. The Lord talks of returning to heaven and to prepare a place for his people and coming back again. Thomas' confusion is seen in verse 5, which reads, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? The Lord answered and gave one of the great I Ams in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Sometimes we are like Thomas, confused about many things, especially about spiritual things, how to secure forgiveness for our sins, is there a life after death, how do we go to heaven, and so on. Questions have to be asked, answers have to be given. The Lord gives the answer. He offers himself as the way. Yes, he is the way back to God from the dark paths of sin. John 3:16 reminds us of the response needed on our part. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We show our belief by confessing we are sinners and by receiving Jesus into our heart as Lord and Savior. When confusion arises, the Bible provides the answers we need to know so that our faith in Jesus remains strong. Next, we meet Thomas as the man of cynicism. In John chapter 20, verse 19 to 25. This was the incident that earned him the title Doubting Thomas. Let me read the passage to you. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen Jesus. But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas was both distrustful and doubting. He was distrustful because he did not believe the claim of Jesus as given in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, which reads, From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. His fellow disciples told him that they have just seen Jesus. He doubted them. Thomas doubted the most important fact of the Christian faith, a living Savior. This boils down to one explanation: faith, or the lack of it. Yes, Thomas disbelieved and doubted his fellow believers because he would not and could not believe that Jesus, who had died and was buried, would rise from the dead on the third day. This is evidenced from his words in verse 25, which I will read to you again. But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." To Thomas, seeing is believing. Well, the Lord Jesus heard what he said. We now meet Thomas as a man of contrition. The Lord appeared to the disciples again, especially to Thomas. This account is given in John 20, verses 26 to 28. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." There he was. The very evidence he wanted was in front of him. He was invited by Jesus to touch his crucifixion wounds. Did Thomas touch the wounds? No, there was no need to. Seeing the Lord in person was enough. There was no longer any doubt. He could only exclaim with contrition these words of worship in verse 28 again, "My Lord and my God." Yes, his disbelief and doubt have turned into certainty. The turning point? Jesus was truly alive. This is the foundation of the Christian faith, a living Savior. However, the most wonderful lesson we can learn from this incident will be the Lord's commendation in the next verse, verse 29. It reads, "Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Jesus stated that Thomas was a case of seeing and believing, but the blessing was for those who believed without the need to see first. What does Jesus mean by this? It is faith, friend. Faith is taking Jesus at his word, even though we do not see his physical presence. We need faith to believe in Jesus. This is taught in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, which reads, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him." Yes, friend, Christianity is a faith-based belief. Believing the Bible is the Word of God, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, who came into this world more than 2,000 years ago, died on a wooden cross to save us from our sins. Believing that when we confess our sins and receive Him as our Lord and Savior, we become the children of God. This is given to us in John 1 verse 12. "Yet, to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God." But dear friend, it is not blind faith. It is not a lip in the dark to place your faith in Jesus. The Bible records evidence of many miracles to show He is the Son of God, such as the healing of the sick, raising the dead, feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and walking on water. The most amazing fact was when He rose from the dead on the 3rd day. This shows Jesus was truly man and truly God. To substantiate this fact, the Bible records for us the evidence of the empty tomb, the empty grave clothes, and the accounts of numerous witnesses. A good list is given by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 to 8, which reads, "And that he was seen by Cephas," that is Peter, "then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me, Paul, also as by one born out of due time." May we enjoy the blessing of those who believe in Jesus by faith and not by sight. When we have believed, many things become clearer because the Holy Spirit indwells us and becomes our teacher and our guide into deeper spiritual truths. In sum, the Christian life is not seeing and believing, but believing then seeing. Did Thomas emerge stronger from this? Let us meet him in the final reference to him as a man of consistency in John 21 verses 1 to 3. And it reads, "Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them. And they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into the boat." The fishermen were together now. Thomas learnt his lesson. He did not stay away this time. He gained from the earlier encounter with the Lord. When you read the rest of John 21, you will see how Jesus appeared to them for the last time in John's Gospel. As he was present this time, Thomas did not miss out on this appearance of Jesus. Discipleship means consistency in fellowship with the Lord and with the Lord's people, as described in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42, which reads, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." As believers, we need to lead a consistent life, consistent in our daily devotion to the Lord, consistent in our love for the Lord's people and for fellow men. The Bible is silent on the life of Thomas after this, but church history does tell us a little bit more about his involvement in later years. One writer named Eusebius said that Thomas went to preach at Edessa, which is the Mesopotamia area, and became a martyr there. Another source said he went to India as a missionary. Our Christian life is not easy. It is beset with trials and tribulations. They test our faith, our courage. They cause confusion. The most basic assurance is not theology or fine intellect, but this fact that we have a living Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, who loves us and cares for us. Let me end with the words of this lovely song, Because He Lives. God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Well, it has been a joy to be with you at times of refreshing. God bless you, one and all.
If Jesus can help Thomas move from doubt to certainty, we can trust Him to help us as well. Thank you, Kuun Su. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth returns with another reflection. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment or a question for Ken. Here are several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send a text message to 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. And Times of Refreshing is on Facebook. You can go there to get the latest updates, socialize with other fans of the program, and you can also leave us your views right on our Facebook page. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, and there you can listen to any of the programs in our library. Also, Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that will allow you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.